Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 49:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 29:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 49:29. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Most of you are aware of the fact that in the previous session, we dealt with the subject, Road to Victory, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, which was an emphasis upon unlocking the doors for happiness, joy, and contentment. Road to Victory, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Now we turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. And before we begin our scripture reading, we spend a moment in prayer, please. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity which is ours again to leave the distractions of the world aside and focus our minds upon eternal truths. We are privileged individuals indeed. We have the magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit. In this church age, we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have God's wonderful Word, which is our roadmap for us on a day-by-day basis. We're aware of the fact that you desire for us to unlock the doors for joy and contentment and happiness. And no matter what happens in life to us, the burdens, the trials, the tests, illness, whatever it is, we believe that we can look at things from a divine vertical viewpoint and be able to see that all things do work together for good to those who love you and those who are called according to your purpose. We're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now to read these magnificent verses. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as the Apostle Paul came to the Ephesian believers that they might have a classroom of learning, that is exactly what we have here today. I would like for you, if you will, please, to take Ephesians chapter 3, and go all the way down to verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Now glance back up at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Now, you can easily see the statement made in verse 1, for this reason. And you can easily see in verse 14, for this reason. In verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Down to verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. In between verse 1 and verse 14, we have an emphasis on some information that you and I as believers need to have. And that's why we're going to read, you follow me as I read, these verses. We've already seen verse 1, so now verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship, the dispensation of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now immediately you can see that the Apostle Paul is telling these Ephesian believers that the information in relationship to the church age was given to him to give to them. In other words, it's information that was given to him to give to us. Verse 3. That by revelation there was made known to me the mysterion, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery, into the mysterion of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Verse 6. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Ephesians 3 verse 7. Of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, verse 8, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mysterion which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Verse 10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. Now, if you'll hold your finger there and go back to the book of Matthew, I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go to Matthew chapter 13. Most of us by now know that Matthew is one of the synoptic gospels, one of the harmony of the gospels. The harmony of the gospels means Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Synoptic means Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So immediately I'm telling you that we're in now Matthew, which is one of those three synoptic gospels, which is Age of Israel information. Please note that I'm saying to you that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in those three books, and even more than that, but specifically that, we have Age of Israel information. Now, I want you to see that Jesus is dealing here with the disciples. I'm going to begin reading with verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? He answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysterions the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whosoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, what I've done in my Bible is I've highlighted. You may want to do that. I went up to verse 10 and I highlighted the word disciples. Then I went to verse 11 and I encircled the word mysteries. Now there's a reason for me doing this. Then I went down to verse 13 and here's what I did. I'm going to read it first. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while they're seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear. And then I highlighted, they do not understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, 9, 10, is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. Verse 15, for the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn again, and I should heal them. I'm sure that you realize I've read Age of Israel information, and then I read Church Age information in Ephesians chapter 3. What we have to see is that so many people take Age of Israel information and seek to coerce or force it down on Age of Israel information. They take Age of Israel information and try to force it down on Age of Grace information. I want to be sure that you understand that I just got that wrong, but I want to say it now correctly. They take Age of Israel information and press it down on Age of Grace information. Many people are confused in relationship to the Age of Grace, because of their intent on receiving and studying Age of Israel information and then seeking to press Age of Israel information down upon the church age. And every time people do that, they will find themselves in difficulty. Two grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. What people do is take that and use it as Age of Grace information when it is Age of Israel information. I don't want to confuse you. I just want to make it clear. What we are doing now is taking a look at Ephesians 3 and verse 2. I have it on the screen for you and I want us to see it. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given to you, to me, for you. The Apostle Paul now is letting us see that the individuals of his time are in a classroom, just as you and I are in a classroom now. We have the responsibility in this classroom of getting Age of Grace information and comprehending some things about Age of Israel information. Your insert in your bulletin today gives us a good beginning presentation of understanding those two. What we have here is, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation, and the Greek word there is a word that we've been analyzing for 3 or 4 weeks now. It is the Greek word oikonomian. Oikos is the Greek word for house. Domia here is the word which emphasizes the dome, the construction. And we have an emphasis here upon the word nomos, which is the word law in the Greek. So putting the two together, you have here the law of the house. The law of the house. And it's described as stewardship in one case, many translate, and the other is dispensation. When you have the word stewardship or dispensation, it emphasizes understanding in the classroom a comprehension of where you and I now live between Pentecost and the rapture of the church, which is the age of grace. Paul is saying, God has put me here on the earth as a communicator, a disseminator, a proclaimer of age of grace information. That's the reason why we have so many Pauline epistles. Most of you know that so much of the New Testament, the writer, the human writer, by the Spirit of God, is the Apostle Paul. I don't think any of you have any trouble with that. You have to understand that there's a reason for that, because out of all the information that's given in the Bible, we have an emphasis upon the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. We have an emphasis upon the interruption of the age of Israel. And then we have, in Acts chapter 7, 8, and 9, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And then we have how God directed that individual over a period of time. And then the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and all these various churches and the writings of the New Testament. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. What I do is to remind you of what you have in Matthew, what you have in the book of Ephesians, and the fact that in Matthew, Jesus spoke in parables. And he was simply saying, you have ears to hear and you're not hearing. You have eyes to see and you're not seeing. And you do not comprehend. You do not understand. There are many people today who do not understand that understanding the line of the time or the timeline. In other words, they have no concept whatsoever of the age of the Gentiles, Genesis 1 through Genesis chapter 11, starting with chapter 12, the age of Israel. They have no mindset, understanding of that information. And then they get over into the synoptic gospels, they get over into the harmony of the gospels, and they're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first part of John, and they're concluding that all of this is information for the church. When there is the emphasis upon the age of Israel, and then an emphasis upon the age of grace. This age of grace is called the mysterion, the mystery. Now, what you're going to do is to see with me some special verses, and I've got them lined out here for you to see, because it's important. When we get next Sunday into verse 3, notice, if you will, Ephesians 3:3. Now, let's look at verse 2 first. If indeed you've heard of the dispensation of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now, that's easily understood. Verse 3. That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before, in brief. Now, I'm going to give you these verses, and I would like for you to at least write them down. The first one is Colossians 1:27. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And he says there, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I don't have time today to exegete and go through all these words, but I do want you to see that here the Apostle Paul is writing to the Colossian believers, just as he speaks to other believers in these various churches where he has gone and the churches have been established, and we have books written to those various books, various groups of people. This is one written to the Colossian believers. And he says, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, not Jews, not Israel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I'm not exegeting. I'm just simply giving you a passage you need to write somewhere so you can look it up later. The next one is Ephesians 1:9. Having made known to us, the Ephesian believers, the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. I would enjoy going through all of these Greek verbs, but we'll not take the time to do it. What we have, as you can see over and over again, the word mystery. It's the Greek word mysterion. Let's begin now to define. Definition. The Greek word is mysterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, which means secret teaching, and comes from the Attic Greek noun, M-U-S-T-E-S, referring to a person being initiated into a fraternity, Greek fraternity. Now, if you'll notice, the scripture I have here is Matthew 13:11-15. Some of you are aware of the fact that that's the passage we read at the beginning. The word mysterion in the New Testament always refers to the church age information. Church age information. That's the reason why I read a few moments ago Ephesians chapter 3, those first verses. Beginning with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, which is our verse for this session, there's an emphasis upon the beginning of the church age with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, which simply means that that is what took place in your life and mine at the point you believed. God worked a miracle of transformation in your life and mine. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brought us into the family of God, which simply means that at the point of our accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, there was regeneration, which means there was the implantation or putting into the individual Jesus Christ to reside in the life. I and you and you and me. This is described in the scripture as imputation. In other words, when you were saved, God worked a miracle in your life and mine and changed you with an eternal change. That's the emphasis of what took place in relationship to the age of grace, the church age. The word in the New Testament, mysterion, always refers to church age information. Number three, On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to go too rapidly here because I want you to see that on the day of Pentecost, there were believers, of course, before that time. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. All of this occurred in the age of Israel. It was not a mystery. It was not mysterion. Let me go back and let you see what I'm saying. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with Christ. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ. But all this occurred in the age of Israel. It was not a mystery. If you're looking at the timeline, all of you ought to be able to draw a timeline and put age of Gentiles, age of Israel, and the intercalated period, the interruption of the age of Israel. You ought to be able to do that. I would be embarrassed if I asked you and you wouldn't be able to do that for me. But I'm not going to come and ask you. But I just want to let you see, you really need to understand this. There's a period of interruption of the age of Israel, which is called the intercalated, the inserted time of Jesus Christ in the flesh on the earth. God in the flesh. All right. Now let me go back and let you see what's going on here. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ. But all this occurred in the age of Israel. Now, right now, your mind ought to be drawing that line, and you ought to have inserted the intercalated period, the church, Jesus Christ coming on to the earth. It was not a mystery. Stay with me now. In the scripture, you have an emphasis upon the tribulation. In your mind's eye now, take a look at the timeline again. We're talking about being in a classroom. That's what we have here. That's what we have here in this particular location now. We're in a classroom. In your mind, you have a picture in your thinking of this timeline. What I've said so far, you've been able to see that the age of Israel was interrupted with the coming of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. You're seeing that after the end of the age of grace, there's a continuation of the age of Israel and the consummation of the age of Israel, which is the 7 years of tribulation. So the tribulation is also well described in the Old Testament. But it was not a mystery, because it too belongs to the age of Israel. The second advent and the millennium are also described in the Old Testament. It was not church age information. I love the way you listen. Number four. The mystery concept of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. And the church then is the fraternity with the ability to understand it. That's the reason why, and when I read Matthew a few moments ago, they could hear, but they couldn't hear. They could see, but they couldn't see. They had no ability to comprehend, understand. The Apostle Paul tells us about this in Romans 16:25 and 26. In the scripture I read to you a few moments ago, Colossians 1:27. Roman numeral 5. Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information. Jesus Christ was the first person to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. Jesus, the prophet, presented this concept which had not been presented in the Old Testament. You getting this down? Union with Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, all of these not found in the Old Testament. I just wish I knew how much you knew after all my wonderful teaching for 43 years. Do you see that there's a sense of humor there? All of the wonderful teaching over the 43 years, and some of you more years than that. When I mention union with Christ, what does that mean to you? When I mention indwelling of Christ or indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean to you? If you were to go home now and put a sheet of paper down and write at the top, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then write all you know about that, and take another sheet and put indwelling of Christ and write all you know about that, and then take another sheet and put union with Christ and write all you know about that and bring it to me at the next session. You see what I'm driving, at, what I'm trying to remind you of? I'm trying to let you see, and I'm going to back up again. Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information. You and I have been privileged to hear church age information for all these years. Jesus, the prophet, presented this concept which had not been presented in the Old Testament. Union with Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, not found in the Old Testament. Roman numeral 6. The church began with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This had not happened in all of history before. Jesus announced to his disciples just a few days before the church age began. In John 17:23, John 17 is that beautiful Lord's Prayer. I in you and you in me. This was the first declaration of the mysterion, the mystery. And then as a result of what God has done, the epistles are the biblical concepts, explanation, description of these wonderful concepts of the mysterion. Roman numeral 8. The rapture does not belong to the age of Israel. You know that. Therefore, the rapture is not found in the book of Matthew. Two in the fields, one taken, the other left. That refers to the second advent, not the rapture. I can see some of you saying, I see it. And some of you are saying, would you say that again, please? I can't see it. And that's okay. It takes time to see it. At the second advent, the unbeliever under the baptism of fire will be cast off the earth and into that fire. Second advent. Roman numeral 9. Anytime you hear the word mysterion or mystery, the mystery The mysterion or mystery concept is always related to the dispensation of the church. That's the reason why we're studying now this magnificent book of Ephesians. Number 10. Our understanding of the subject is gained by the utilization of the system which our Lord has provided for us, which includes perception, the filling of the Holy Spirit, application, and metabolization of truth. I didn't put the metabolization in here. Couldn't spell it. No, I don't. Some of you are paying close attention. Our understanding of this subject is gained by utilization of the system which our Lord has provided for us, which means in perception. It means while filled with the Holy Spirit, we're perceptive in receiving, and we're making application of the things we're learning. It's like putting it in a blender and putting the power on and blending it. We're metabolizing. We're getting it together. We're able to see it. We call this the grace system of learning, or the grace system of comprehending. Here we emphasize the difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. And I want to take 1 minute to tell you that there's a difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. No matter what your human IQ is, when you're in this auditorium, cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, God is magnificently working for you to learn because of the perception and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual IQ is receiving dissemination of God's message. Now, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on how long you've been studying. You may be a baby believer, but you can receive a percentage of what is being communicated. You may be an adolescent believer and receive a certain percentage of what you're hearing. You may be a young adult believer and you're receiving a percentage of what is being presented to you. Or you may have been a believer for years and you've advanced, and so when you sit in this auditorium while filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is being proclaimed, you may be receiving 85 or 90% of the content of the information being presented. We're talking about the difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. Think about that for a while, will you? Now may we pray together. Father, we're thankful for the challenge that's just been presented to us, to see that it's so important to be perceptive and rightly related to Jesus Christ and grow so that we can pass through this various spiritual stages of babyhood and adolescence and youth and adulthood and advanced believer on up there to super grace believer. Help us to see the importance of being an advanced believer. We realize today that you have so much for us to learn. Help us to be desirous to learn. And for those who've never started because they haven't even believed and accepted Jesus Christ, may they do that now. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.